quote from this book, we can quote from that book, that we are like donkeys carrying gold weight. That's all. We are not truly educated. Truly education means from within. And there's only one thing that rises from within. Internal evolution. All else is humbug. That is why I like any type of education. Because actually speaking, we have no education. We are loading ourselves from outside and pouring into our head fiction, lot of fiction. But whatever rises from inside, whatever rises from inside is human evolution. Unless that comes, all your so-called education, school and college, it's useless. What has it made from us? What has it become? A man can become a doctor. I don't know how to slowly poison his wife and kill her. That is how you use your education, so far. A primitive man will take a stone and hit it on the head of his wife and kill her. That is only the education. He has not been educated. You get my point? So any type of education is a load and useless load. Whatever that springs from inside is internal evolution. And whatever we are doing is to remove the obstacles that prevent this internal flow out. And that is yoga. And it is not education.
In the context of yoga,
you are going off the tongue. I always stated that yoga must be practiced in this world. We must live a normal householder's life. We are not running away from whatever the material responsibilities are. But when we are putting that on a pedestal, I say it is wrong. You get my point? I have not asked you to run away to an ashram. I am always against it. Live here, in this world, as a householder, and yet practice yoga. That means whatever your material responsibilities, it's okay. Your material so-called education is okay if you can earn rupees and manners. You see? I don't say no. But when you put that education on a pedestal and say he is an educated man, I'm very sorry. At that time when I hear that, I feel very sorry. Here is an educated man. No man to me is educated who does not plow from inside. The richest man, not the most scholarly man, to me, is worthwhile if he has not flowered from inside. Am I clear? Thank you. What is the place of a spiritual man in the scheme of things?
Kajya.
Infinite mind. What is the place of the spiritual man in the scheme of things? I think my friend here asked that question a little earlier, no? The spiritual man is normally called Atma. It is vaguely understood. Every man, woman and child can pronounce this word Atma. Nobody really knows. The sutra says, all this is for the sake of the soul. To understand Atma is more difficult than understanding the whole of the universe. Up to the stage when brain and individual mind continue to hold the stage, the Atma of the spiritual man remains a witness. When brain and individual mind turn inward and willingly ask for guidance from the spiritual man within, it is Ishvara the Guru Deva. What's the idea? There is very little to know about the spiritual man. As I said, there is very little to know about the inner man, it is to experience the inner man. And it is to experience your own inner self. There is no way one can explain how you can reach your inner self. All I said was there are practices that remove certain obstacles from your way. That all can be done. But the result is that you are able to see and hear what you have never been able to see and hear. Today, all the weight is given to the brain of man. The brain of man. The brain of man that is very useless. As any useless thing on earth. You don't like it, I know. The brain of man
is as useless
as the most useless thing on earth. Because like the finest computer, if it is not supplied data or if it is not supplied energy, it is a beautiful machine that is lying useless. So is the brain of man. The data, the energy has to be supplied to this brain. Nature has made it so easy to supply data. And nature has made it so easy to supply energy. And we not knowing how it is fed by way of data and how it is fed by way of energy, not knowing these two links, we see the glamour of the human brain. See what human brain has done. Education, civilization, it is a cumulative process. Today I have discovered this, tomorrow next generation will add to this, the third generation will add to this, the cumulative progress of human beings. It is not the wonder of the human brain. The wonder of the human brain will start, I don't know, in the 22nd, 24th, 25th century, I don't know. It has not yet started. What we see today as the brilliance of the human brain is nothing but the reflection of the infinite mind. The reflection of the infinite mind is due human brain. And this human brain one day will start showing its brilliance. That day will be a different day. Till today we are seeing nothing of the brilliance of the human brain. Because the physical body has reached a stage of evolution. The human brain has not reached the stage of evolution. It is 80% dormant. The real beauty of the human brain will be seen when it will become alive, functioning. Today there are a few points in the brain that automatically function. That's all. But it is one of the finest creations of God in the entire universe. The day it will function, the functioning of the whole universe will not look superior to its functioning. Because there are 16 billion galaxies in the universe and there are 16 billion cells in a human brain. One day, when this universe will function, then you will know the beauty of the human brain. Today, you know nothing. Today, it is just an automatic process. That is why human thinking is called automatic reflex action. It is not called thinking. It is automatic reflex action. It depends upon what you feed in, that's all.
That
is the whole idea. That is the whole idea. That when the human brain will function, every human being will be a God. At that time people will forget civilization, people will only talk about evolution.
What happens to infinite mind at that stage?
Because the brain has become a part of the infinite mind.
But what will they do, sir?
Wait for 100 billion years. I'll tell you then what will happen. You are too early to ask this question. Even through the best telescope, you are not able to see that age. A few 100 billion years and...
I'm asking that when you hear the prospect, glorious prospect.
The glorious prospect.
But my question is then
run to individuals. Who will wake up? And in the story of Ramakrishna, he called them avatars, but actually these are samples of what human beings could be. These are samples of what human beings could be. Christ, Buddha, these are samples of what a human being could be. But we see them so far away that we do namaskar and we never think of attaining that status. See? Because we think, oh, it's far. That is why I say, after 200 billion years, we'll come to discuss what will be the world like. If you can show me conscience, I'll show you Atma.
Doesn't mean the same thing.
Nothing means same. You know the word sky? All of you know what the sky is? You know all of you what the word sky is? Let me tell you that the word sky does not exist. You all know what the sky is, yet something like sky does not exist in the whole universe. Sky is limitation of the human eye. It can see that much and not more, that is sky. If you can penetrate, you can see deeper. The same sky gives way when you see through a telescope. There is nothing like a sky. So there are many words that don't exist. If you can show me where your conscience lies, I will tell you your soul is within that conscience. See, there are many words we use that have no real place in life, like sky. Like the sun rising, the sun never rises. The sun setting, the sun never sets. You see, we have got very many wrong terms and have accepted as facts of life. You see? So don't jump to conclusion. Conscience is supposed to be a fictitious area in the human body brain system. It tells you, warns you, guides you, if you listen to it. And after 100,000 times, if you still don't listen to it, it stops telling you. That is supposed to be conscience. See? So don't go by words that are knowing. That is why I say that what you experience is not conscience. There are times, unconscious times, when the brain is quiet. There is communication with the infinite mind. when we get a message, whether we accept that, whether we work on that, or we refuse to accept is our own choice. But that happens at times. These times are, you say, my conscience told me no. But I did it. You see? These are the times when your thinking instrument is at a little peace. And when it is at a little peace, infinite mind is able to register what is good for you, what you should do, may even give you guidance. These are rare moments, unconscious moments, because you have not practiced certain practices of yoga. When you practice certain practices of yoga, you can create these moments consciously. You can create this communication consciously. When you can create this communication consciously, the infinite wisdom flows. This is how you can work in life. You see? But when this is not quiet, it just does not happen. That is why in the opening sutra, Sri Patanjali talks about calming the thinking instrument, healing the psychic nature. When these two are possible, communication is possible. Communication is at many levels, in between and inside the brain areas, between brain and mind, between outer body and inner body, between brain and manas, the brain of the astral body. There are so many communications that have to take place. Today we are living life, what should we call, zombie? You know zombie? We are living like that. We are not human beings. We have a form of a human being. That's all we have got today. We have no right to be called a human being. Because we are a form of a human being, we insist we are human beings. We are not. Because the least of communication does not exist. If this world of ours had no communication, what will happen? As it happened some 500 years ago, from one village in the group to the next village in the bullock cart, that was a communication. Today you may text messages and you do so many things, right across the world. Your communication has improved. When your communication improves, your awareness improves. And when your awareness improves, your communication improves. So that's not done. So all these inner communications are essential. There are certain obstacles. Just like if the wires get disconnected, the communication will not take place. Like that, there are obstacles in our body. Yoga teaches us to remove those obstacles so that communication may be simple, clear. Then you will be able to communicate the way one can communicate. All your external ideas of communication will look primitive. Something to say? You see? Your facts and your telephones and all will look primitive. Then your own internal communication will be established. So yoga is helping you to become human beings, to establish your life as human beings. Today you are human beings in form only, nothing else. Yeah?
In the context of the communication
you just described, what an intuition are the words used when people do not understand internal communication. When people do not understand the means of internal communication, they have got a word like insight intuition. Insight and intuition are nothing but definite laid down means of communication. When you do not know the laid down means of communication, you say, he is intuitive, he has an insight, he has got gift, because you have no idea, or the person has no idea of the conscious matters of internal communication. You got my definition correct, ma'am? The brain functions. If the infinite mind flows through the brain as individual mind, it is, that is, the individual mind, the source of energy supply to enable the brain to function. But if the brain were to function on its own, it will be under doubt and fear. If the brain works and individual mind gets involved in brain processes, again the result will be doubt and fear and so confusion. But if the individual mind flows and remains as a catalyst uninvolved, the individual mind has the capacity and power of the infinite mind to guide the brain, and that will be proper use, and earlier will be the improper use. The whole of the man, including all the three universes, the pastors say they float in infinite mind. And the infinite mind interpenetrates all the three universes and therefore interpenetrates everything in these three universes. Infinite mind on a very low level represents unmanifest God. The level of unmanifest God, there can be no creation possible because of the tremendous rate of vibration. But at a very low level, for creation to exist, for existence to exist, it has a counter, lower counter called the infinite mind. And because of that, we all exist. Everything in all the three universes exists. There is an automatic, very little communication between brain and mind. It is not on proper lines as it should be in a normal human being. When it is not in the proper way it should be, the infinite mind flowing as individual mind loses its characteristic of infinite mind because it is polluted in the brain. If it were to remain as a catalyst, that means if it were to remain as the infinite mind, then it will have all the power of the infinite mind. And the power of the infinite mind is endless. All types of communication are possible, all knowledge is possible, all wisdom is possible, all guidance is possible. Each one of us, in spite of being a very, very rich man, we function as a poor beggar on the street. Because we do not make use of the infinite riches that are at our disposal. We don't see these riches, we don't understand these riches, we don't make use of these riches, and in one corner of the street is stand and bad, like a blind man, the Pentaita. We go down on our knees and beg from God, oh God do this, oh God do that. This is the way we live. When God has thrown at us all the riches that we have, and then we must always blame God or nature, X or Y or Z, for our rotten situation in life. We make ourselves as we are ourselves. We cannot blame anyone. If we don't want to make use of the riches at our command, then it is your choice. We knew the story of Akbar. Every Friday morning he used to go to the mosque on the way for dinar. Near gate always stood one beggar. He was never missing. One Friday morning the beggar was not there. He went to the mosque. When he came back, he saw him standing at the palace. So he asked him, "Where have you been? Today I didn't see you." "Sir, last Friday I saw you back from another great emperor. I am now begging from him directly." If you can directly ban, you are richer than Akbar, you know. But even there you are not to ban. It has been given to you. You have to make use of it. But even if you are Akbar, be bad. This is our human nature. God has not asked us to beg from you. No. He said, "I have given you, now make use of it." This might sound like fiction, because you are not experienced by the riches. The proof of the pudding is in eating it. Try all the techniques you will be given and see whether you can cut those riches or not. Then you will see for yourself how rich you are. Starting from the morning with the body ache, in the office with a headache, at evening no appetite, and the wife still using this is a sad way of living. If you want to live that way, nobody can prevent you from living that way.
There is a school of thought that we say that at any point of time, only two people can become enlightened.
So you mean enlightened? I am not asking you to get enlightened, come amongst the few.
You agree that there
are many people? Yes, yes. This is meant for few. If you want to join the few, join. If you want to remain among the lot of the... Because of mental and physical inertia, majority will not act. Let the matter end. Yoga says the same thing. But not as a wonderful theory that...
Even
I can't do anything. How many times have I said this? It has not happened. No need of Ramas and Krishna. I am here telling you. And I must have told you 50-100 times before even. It does not happen. If the few choose and if the majority does not choose, it is their choice entirely. You see the free will of man. And man uses his free will to remain primitive. That is his choice. Because the line of least resistance. You do not want to climb, you can easily run down the steps. That is human nature. And this inertia, if not broken, the first step on yoga cannot be taken. And as 99.9 stop here. So don't go further. It's a sad thing, it can happen, as you say, to maintain nature's balance.
I mean, nature has arranged it like that. This is a true of you again.
Don't blame nature for
happening. It's only the
nature.
It is not its nature. What is the
law?
It is not
interested
in
enlightenment. The law is not a human being, but talking about human beings. This possibility is endless, my friend. We are not talking about any pliable substance. You are not talking even about other life. Human being is a unique creation. We are talking about the most wonderful creation, human being. The possibilities, when the sky is not the limit, you see. But no is bringing in philosophy. Unless you do it, nothing will happen. Forget all philosophies, forget all rules and regulations, do it. If you can start from tomorrow morning, you will be a different person. But when tomorrow doesn't come, philosophies will always enter. God and nature are not enemies. They do not want to obstruct. Even the worst of destiny does not prevent the man from going ahead on the spiritual path. That is his freedom, absolute freedom of a human being. But the being is one thing. The doing is one thing. The talking is available, that's all. What are the obstacles and hindrances? The sutra says, the obstacle to soul cognition are bodily disability, mental inertia, wrong questioning, contradictory questioning, carelessness, laziness, lack of dispassion, erroneous perception, inability to achieve concentration, failure to hold the meditative attitude. The hindrances are avidya, sense of personality, desire, hate, sense of attachment. The obstacles are personal to the individual. The hindrances are the general weaknesses of the human race. The obstacles is the structure of the individual are to be taken in hand first for correction. So you see, my dear friend here, the sutra has enumerated various obstacles. The first being bodily disability, followed by mental inertia. Everything else is pardonable, except for mental inertia. And if you see to the hindrances, they are, they belong to the race, avidya, sense of personality, desire, faith, sense of attachment. We are basically human beings. We are supposed to live like human beings. We cannot run away from what this world is and what the world desires. Yet, it does not mean that we should sink in this turbid waters and not make any effort to swim out of it. You are not to run away from this material life. You have to stay in this material life. Yet, always find time for your inner evolution. If you do not take this both together, your life is not a whole life. Those who are materially prosperous are half alive. Those who want to run away from ashram are half alive. The man who accumulates money at all costs is as much at fault as the man who runs away to an ashram or Himalaya for his own salvation. Both are, in a way, very, very wrong. They do not care for the other people. On the path, as you progress, your one hand must be extended to those who want to come up. Just as in the material world, when you make money, with the other hand you help the lesser fortunate people. You see, unless this way you live, the life is not a whole life. It is a very stupid, narrow-minded life, whether it is on the path or off the path. Therefore, balanced life is most essential. There will be difficulties, no question there will be difficulties, and not very many. But it is for the individual to decide how much effort he will put in or she will put in. Without immense effort, nothing will be achieved. Regular daily bread, regular monthly income. How many hours a day this job? Many of us hang on in the train for an hour or more, go again in the evening, all compressed, in this trains and buses, he will undergo all these for a monthly income. We are not prepared to put in that much effort for a spiritual income. No, we are not prepared. That's the whole idea. The effort is not put in because there is no value. If you value the inner evolution, then you will put in the efforts. That is the simple formula. But when inner riches are not valued, efforts are not put in. As I told you just now, from 24 hours you can easily spare an hour. Easily, because you don't do anything rest of the time. If you can spare 1 hour and do the techniques and practices regularly, see for yourself what happens if you are regular. But if you don't want to see, if you think, jo hone ka hai wo hoga, whatever is to happen will happen, then you see, sit for an eternity for things to happen. It will happen, of course. But sit for an eternity doing nothing. If you want something to happen in your life consciously, you will have to put in efforts. There is no other way. The word, the idea of grace, forget all that. Grace has never descended on anyone. No one. Grace is the product of immense work. The entire result of years of infinite labor on the path. Grace is not a gift. God gives no gift to individuals. He has already given what he has to give to everyone. He has made a will that he has given everything to everyone. All of us have been given enough his riches, that's all. Now he cannot give any further gift. But if we don't want to, nothing can happen. What is this life all full of care? We have no time to stand and stare. So if you have no time even to stand and stare, where will you find time to do this? You must find time, you must work. There is no other formula. No other formula. Inspiration grows with perspiration. Nothing goes single in this world. It means that if you are a human being, there is a possibility of having the weaknesses of the human being. That is all it is, that is true. But each one can remove the hindrances and obstacles. Also, because you are a human being, there are certain weaknesses of a human being that does not deprive you from not removing those weaknesses. Because he is a moral power. Because he is a moral power, he cannot get away. If all are doing this, I will do this. If all are going to the mandir, I will go to the mandir. I won't say, useless going to the mandir. I won't stand by my own conviction. I'll say, this is mandir and God is inside. I won't go to the mandir. The whole community goes to the mandir because nobody has the moral courage to stand aside and say, this is my mandir. These are beautiful, sophisticated structures of the Western mind. The real structure of the mind, of the brain is the individual. You have to be individual. Why do you want to be a mass of people? You are an individual. Why are you wanting to be a mass of people? If 70 people do it, I will do it. Why? You are not exposed to any pollution. Take me to the worst polluted area, I will breathe the air there and be able to land. I am individual. I am not the man. The pollution that comes from the brain or the pollution that comes from my breath or the pollution from the water I breathe,
it is my individual ability to disregard, to fade out of my body. But we are covered, physical, mental power. We go under the waves of the atmosphere around us. We are not prepared to stand up and fight. No. What will the world say? Oh, that is the first sentence. What will the neighbor say is the second question. What will my parents say is the third question. Let them all say, it is my life. Unless you are prepared to revolutionize your life, there is no way out, doctor. There is no way out. Don't take shelter under all these nonsense of the Western mind. The Western mind knows nothing about internal evolution. The Western mind is working on the brain, nothing else. And that will keep us slaves, mental and emotional slaves. We must break away. Let the world think what it likes. I will stand by my conviction. That's the end of it. Let them call me mad, stupid, idiot. Let them call me anything. So what? I am my own self. I am individual. I'll stand by my conviction. If I will see what you can't see, I'll tell you, I'll see that.
But if I do that, sir, you will say, I am egoistic. Keep saying ego.
That should I say? If I have...
I ignore the whole world.
If I have not done it, I'll call you, sir. But if I have also done it, then I have to go ahead. You see that only one man who has broken away from the mind will appreciate another man breaking away from the mind. Otherwise, the mass will say, see how he's egoistic, see how he talks, he thinks he is God. Let them see what they like. Stand by your convictions. We are moral, mental, spiritual, emotional cowards.
And there is one more thing, sir. I need to have any conviction. For example, going to a temple.
But how can you have conviction? Conviction comes when we experience. Going to the temple is a formality. When I was 8, 9 years old, our religion says we go to the temple, we take a piece of firewood, go into the temple, offer it there to the priest to put it on the fire. I asked fireplace from my father. He thought I am very religious. I did not buy the sandalwood. When I went into the temple, I asked the priest, put this fireplace on the fire. And he was mad. My father was mad. What are you doing? I said, what am I doing? I am burning 5 rupees. Whether it's a sandalwood or 5 rupees. I am burning 5 rupees. That was my conviction. That's all. You must be able to stand by your conviction, not go under.
Father, you must have conviction.
From where does it come? From doing.
No, as I look into myself, I find that I don't have one single conviction.
Naturally, because we are afraid. We are afraid. We don't want to experience. We don't want to experience and stand by that experience. Finished. That's the long and the short of it. See? This is very important.
In fact, if you very strongly believe that all these children and men are women, believe me, if you say with habitual faith, you say maybe why I am wrong, I see pants and shirts, but maybe, who knows? Now that is regarding all my responses in life. There is not one single thing by which I can
say. It is not your case, it is the case.
And then I have a few size ego man.
You must be.
Whatever I feel is right.
Whatever I feel is right. Whatever I have experienced is right. Not whatever I feel. Feeling has no place. Feeling can be right and wrong. Experience is right. What I have experienced is right. Not feeling. What I have read is right. Not what I have heard is right. Not what I have felt is right. What I have experienced is right.
And I don't have experience.
Then wait for it.
So that means I will be
waiting.
As you're to you.
Wait.
As I am.
Then wait.
So you see the difficulty that you are asking me to touch about.
But why? Because you practice anything. No.
And why am I not practicing?
That is your inertia. That is your mental inertia. There is no vicious circle. We are trying.